Fine Beats.
You about status quo gonna remain the same until we decide to break that status quo. Like,
yeah,
think about it like this: we know 10 people that can come up with $1,000 a piece, at least, at least.
Right.
That's $10,000. Let's do the math.
Mm-hmm.
If we decide that we want to make ourselves a Wakanda, we can do that.
We can do it.
Yeah. Because it's land that's appropriated us out there, and all we really have to do is come in, say, hey, look, this is what I want to do. This is how much money I want to have. And we can somebody can start as an LLC.
Yeah.
It depends on what we want to do. Now, we cannot allow the status quo to remain the same and we not get nothing for it. Because guess what we're going to be back doing? Voting for the same fucked up people that's doing the same fucked up politics. Just like the young brother touched on. And I appreciate you for saying that.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate you for voicing your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Understand this. We're all in this together.
We really are.
Right?
Definitely. Most definitely.
Really, really pay no attention to what black, quote unquote, black America is saying, and then quote unquote, racist white America is saying, because that's the duality between things. These folks fighting for certain things that we don't have. You're never going to be equal to that, and it's never going to be equality. And the reason why I say that is this, right? If you're a white man in America, and you're not taking advantage of your white privilege,
shame on you.
That's a problem. Because I promise you this. I promise you this. If I was a black man in America and I had black privilege, I'm taking advantage of it all the way through.
Yeah.
They tell you that. They tell you that because the status quo has to remain the same.
Right.
They tell you that we're equal because the status quo remains the same.
Mm-hmm.
When they go to bed at night, they don't have the same problems you have to sleep on that they have to sleep on.
Right, right. And no, you know, you really, you know, we're not equal until we have the same economic status, you know, and it starts with the family, the black family. And, you know, one of the things, and I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole, but what plagues us is the single parent in the community. Now, that does not make up the majority of black families. However, it's such a substantial part of the black community now that the best way to pass on wealth, and it's hard for us as black people to do this because we don't understand it well, like we don't understand politics well. The best way is through the nuclear family, right? The nuclear family, mom, dad, children, 2.5 dogs, whatever the hell it is. But that's real, right? Now, when you take half of the parental equation out, it is really hard to pass on wealth generationally. You know what I mean? It's really hard to come together as a family and lay out a plan for, you know, sending the children to college and all of these things and not rely on scholarships, grants, and all of these things, but to eke out a way, and not only that, to take care of the parents after they tired of working and retired and all of these things, right? And this dismantling of the nuclear family for black Americans, you know, is at an all-time high, right? And I had said in a couple of podcasts before the study, and I found this out years ago, study that was done between 1970, Nixon was the president, into 2006 when President Bush was. And before 1970, over 67% of black households were two-parent homes. Okay?
Yeah.
36 years later, that number was under 30%. You know? So this is a big, big problem. Some real basic, simple, you know, getting back to the nuclear family ideals, not accepting, by and large, this whole, you know, we got to be single-parent homes now. And we can, you know, we can debate about, oh, well, you know, single mothers got it hard. Well, I know that. You know, I'm in support of any single mothers out here. But, you know, like I said before on other podcasts, you know.
What happened was, what really happened in that scenario was, and you're talking about 1976, right? And that was the beginning. Because if you think 10 years before that was what?
Civil rights.
Civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
1976. I was born in 1979.
Hmm.
Okay.
Now, you mean tell me I'm the oldest one in this panel?
No, go ahead.
when the housing project institution came through, mm-hmm. what did they came through at?
Yeah.
It came through the what? Democratic Party.
Democratic Party. Yeah. Social.
That's when black people first started voting Democratic.
Sure.
We were always voting Republican because what we always wanted was we always wanted reparations because we were supposed to get 40 acres and a mule.
Get the 40 acres and a mule, right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you align with the other party, they say, well, y'all don't need 40 acres and a mule because
we got you.
If the Democratic Party going to give you everything you want to survive,
mm-hmm.
you ain't trying to survive. You're just trying to hang on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we got brainwashed again. That's what happened. So that was the creation of housing projects.
Right.
My father was a project of George LaGrie Projects.
Okay.
Right? It was just that, a project.
Yes, sir.
And if you understand housing projects and you go back and look through Google and find out how it was it was a social economical project. And guess who was one of the heads of the social economical project? Jane Elliott.
Jane Elliott.
And she has the black eye, the brown eye, blue eye project.
Project, yes.
Look her up if you don't know her.
Oh, I know her well.
People who are listening,
mm-hmm.
for the people who are listening, look that up. Mm-hmm. It's a social economical project,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And she has great stuff. So now.
Yeah.
Let's put in perspective of where we're at now, right?
Mm.
We're talking about generational wealth. That's never going to happen. And like I said, the status quo has to remain the same. Why does the status quo have to remain the same? Because, A, black people were conditioned to understand one thing and one thing only. We never had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We never came with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to do everything that we have to have something.
Mm-hmm.
That's our three plights in the black community. So anytime you try to take one of those three plights from us, and it's always the latter, mm-hmm. as far as we're going to do everything to make sure we have something, that's why we have the crab in a bucket mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we have the you versus us. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. I have to work 10 times harder than
mm-hmm.
you to make sure that I'm equal.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens again? We're fighting inequality with bullshit equality.
Mm.
If the status quo remains the same, white people will always have a ladder up on black folks.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what we try to do? We try to fight the status quo. We try to say, no, I'm smarter than you. But you're never going to come out and tell your white counterpart that you're smarter than him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
So we go into shuck and jive mode. Yes, sir, boss, sir. Yes, sir. Eyes are shining shoes. Yes, sir. No. Cut that shit the fuck out.
Cut it out. Yeah.
Now, what you have to do is be strategic, right? Just how these folks tried to decide they're going to storm the Capitol. we're not ever going to storm a capital. We're never going to do that. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen for us. We're going to die. But what you can do is say, you know what? I'm not just going to put myself in perpetual debt to get me a degree or get me multiple degrees. Fuck that shit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to learn how you learn to get yourself in the position to say, okay, it's either going to be me or the next guy. And if it's the next guy can't put this thing forward. That's what we're looking at with money in politics. Donald Trump was that guy. And going off the young brother, Mr. Outspoken, and I promise you, sir, I want to do some more podcasts with you and pick your brain and go with your understanding, because I understand this. I said this beforehand. I was saying this a long time ago. I was telling people years ago, and it was like, oh, you on that conspiracy theory shit. Oh, you going to sell me a bean pie next? Trust me, this path ain't for everybody.
Ain't for everybody. Mm-mm.
This is the type of path that you're going to walk, and you're going to walk alone. Mm-hmm. Right now, this circle that we have right now, we're illuminated. Mm-hmm. Call us Illuminati, call us what you want. But the Illuminati means basically you have more knowledge than somebody else. If you tell somebody that they are idiotic, that's not to put them down. That's basically say you don't have enough knowledge, and I do, because you're initiated. You know, you have a certain type of je ne sais quoi, right? That's French, meaning you have a certain type of light. People who are initiated, and I'm traveling different circles, you know when the light clicks on, you know when the light is off. You have to understand that. It's about understanding. You go down a rabbit hole, you're going to take the red pill, blue pill. In this type of light that you're going to find yourself being into, you are never going to do one thing. You can never, ever Jedi mind trick a Jedi.
What? Okay, let me write that down.
Now,
let me write
that down. So now, the reason why I say you get what you pay for.
Yes, sir.
Did you get what you paid for? It has a deeper meaning than what it is on the surface.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
Because if you decide to immerse yourself into one whole subject, you're going to be immersed into that subject, and you're not going to get out of it until you understand the truth about that subject. Truth remains true, no matter what you think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If I tell you the sun is blue, you're going to be like, looks whitish to me.
Yeah.
That's something that you have to fight with in your mind. Because if you knew the true setup of the solar system, you would know what real light and the colors of light really are.
Hey, they're not ready for that, Norris.
And he ready.
No, he ready. I meant the audience, parts of the audience.
Oh, the audience is definitely ready. They definitely ready because, you know, everybody has a light about themselves. You know, you're attracted to certain people because of your light. And it's not a physical light. It's just an aura.
Right, man.
It's just a spirituality.
You're gonna get me into just this like thing Jabbar, now,
just like Jabbar hit on. If you can't vibrate yourself to a higher frequency and understand what's being presented in front of you, you're gonna lose every time.
Right.
And in this game, it's not designed to whether you win or lose. It's designed for you to make a choice. And can nobody see past the choice they're gonna try to make? And I'm done. Did you get what you paid for?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man. Jabbar, what you got for us, man? We're going to wrap it up soon.
Yeah,
man.
You know, you got some part just stuff touching on what Nora's speaking about. This is it's an evolution. And I want to encourage black people, not minorities, not anybody else. We need to evolve, okay? We need to get out of antiquated mindsets as far as, you know, what we have, essentially, you know, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. I think that's clear. That's undebatable. We need significant change in substance. And one of these books, I brought part of my little library to get here, but I think everybody need to at least get the audio book, Dr. Martin Luther King's last book, or one of his last works, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community? You know, being that Dr. King holiday just passed early this week, you know, we had the inauguration. I think it's a great time for us to come into more light, more enlightenment, you know, raise that vibration, raise that frequency, because it's what he did. You know, they don't really speak to his shift in political ideology at the end of his life and ultimately what got him assassinated, okay? Mm-hmm. But that's the part of the meat and potatoes, the part when around the time before Malcolm got assassinated, after Malcolm left the Nation of Islam, they came together in certain understandings, you know what I'm saying, and started to collaborate. We, you know, Malcolm evolved. You know, we're going to have to evolve. Now, Norris, he was touching on it. Now, this could cost you a lot, you know, but these brave brothers, it cost them their lives. But what are we doing with their sacrifice? You know, so if they were here, someone had posed that question before King Holiday. Well, what would Martin Luther King Jr., you know, feel about the state of black America that he gave his life for? And no answer out loud, ask yourself that, you know, but have we read his works? You know, I just want to read a part of the back of this book, because this is the last book written by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And just read you a little snippet of one paragraph. In 1967, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. isolated himself from the demands of the civil rights movement, rented a house in Jamaica with no telephone, and labored over his final manuscript. In this prophetic work, he lays out his thoughts, plans, and dreams for America's future, including the need for better jobs, higher wages, decent housing, and quality education, with a universal message of hope that continues to resonate. King demanded an end to global suffering, asserting that humankind, for the first time, has the resources and technology to eradicate poverty. Now, with that, how much of what he wrote and thought about 1967 has changed for black America right now, when we still in one of the wealthiest nations in the world? Technology is running rampant, but yet black Americans are still the most impoverished Americans. That's a problem, okay? So when I ask the question, are we living in the sacrifice leaders like that gave their lives for? That's the question I want us to ask ourselves. You know, where are we putting our energy towards? Are we raising our frequency? Or are we staying in the same old rut, being led by the same old type people and not getting any results? See, the goal is and the aim is to put all the civil rights leaders to rest. Okay, you did your part. We don't need it no more because we got what we supposed to get. Because I don't see the Chinese civil rights leader talking about it. I don't see the Jewish civil rights leader talking about it. I don't see the Japanese. You know, it's always black people. We're here for a purpose, and they'll put us out there in front of the camera. Once again, like I said at the beginning, it's more about the symbolic nature and nothing tangible, so much so that most of us don't even know what the tangibles we need. That's how crazy this game is. But when we start to understand, all we got to do is look at everybody else. And then when we understand that these people are coming up off of the benefits that we were supposed to have already gotten, and our state and status is because of the lack of resources within our communities and all of the other things added to the communities to disrupt a sense of community. That's why this book, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community? Man, Dr. King put it out there, you know? So that's all I really got, man. B, I appreciate this, man. That's great.
Always.
You know,
always.
You know, by chance, a Facebook meeting turned into one of the better podcasts of my lifetime. But, you know,
yes,
I'm learning. You know, we learning. And we got to encourage the rest of us to learn and grow.
Yes, sir. Outspoken E.
I'm intrigued. I want to give the floor to, and if I'm overstepping my boundaries, I apologize.
Run with it, man.
But I
want
to give to, you know, Mr. Outspoken, you got the floor for the rest of a few minutes.
Oh, thank you. Going back to the Dr. Martin Luther King thing, the first thing I thought of in my head when he mentioned it, out of all things, was this episode from the show The Boondocks, if y'all seen it. And
this guy.
The first thing I thought of was the I Have a Dream episode. Yeah.
One of my favorites, man.
And part of me, you know, growing up, you know, still deciding, you know, how I want to improve on my life, as well as how I want to see the black community rise. Mm-hmm. I have had those moments where I felt like one of those people in the club and the scene where they're trying to talk to them. And then everybody else is just dancing,
right,
just
right.
enjoying themselves because they feel like they're at a spot where they're okay with their lives.
Right.
They don't need to hear any more criticism because they think they're good, mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure the first thing they can think of is, well, it's not slavery anymore. You know, we're not on a plantation shucking and jiving. So why do I need to listen to somebody, you know, because I'm good. You know, they and it's a thought process, you know. And I think because of that, I always think about, like, my upbringing and stuff like that. You know, live with both of my parents, good parents and stuff like that. Raised me in the church and everything like that. So, and they did their best to teach me and to keep me on that path. But to be honest, growing up, going in school, and I mean, my parents gave us, we grew up in a private school for all of 16, 17 years. And to tell you even half of the stuff that these brothers talked about in this show, they never even talked about
right.
the school.
Right on.
And, you know, maybe because I grew up in South Carolina, you know, you go into a Southern Baptist school and stuff mm-hmm. like that where the education is good, but maybe they want to hide some parts of history so mm-hmm. they can be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I reference days where they would talk about black history, you know, for all of February. You wouldn't even hear another name, of course. But at the same time, you know, when they talk about the Civil War and stuff like that, they have no problem talking about, well, it wasn't all about slavery, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know. So, unfortunately, I didn't get all the education that I feel like I should have gotten when I'm young.
Right.
So, I won't say it's frustrating that I don't have that knowledge that a lot of people, you know, that I feel like I should have at this point. You know, I see that as an opportunity because I know how, you know, how my life is. And from what I've seen, whether it be through reading, through the internet, through television and stuff like that, I know I still need a little bit of work.
Mm.
And I'm always willing to have discussions and stuff. Now, of course, I still have my disagreements just like everybody else and stuff like that. But I enjoy having conversations like this. To where if somebody wants to tell me I'm wrong, they don't have to come at me, you know, with every wrong word, you know, word they can think of. You sit somebody down and we can have this conversation.
Right.
And, because I have no problem admitting that I don't have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm only 30. So there's still a long...
Like, sure, that's a bad thing, dog. You only 30.
Yeah, there's still a long way to go for me. So I enjoy this, you know. I think that opportunities like this, and for any African American, I think opportunities like this, whether it's in a podcast, whether it's talking to your parents, mm-hmm. whether it's talking to somebody
right.
who just knows a little bit more than you do. Not saying it's a slight on you, but everybody needs, you know, a little motivation, you know, a little bit of conflict just to tell them that they don't have the answers. Nothing yeah. wrong with that at all. So I appreciate that.
Definitely, man. We appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks to everybody on the panel, Big N.O. in D.C., Jabbar Perry Sr., Mr. E. Outspoken,
yes,
new
sir.
Contributor to the podcast. And I just want to leave y'all with a little quote before I do my usual outro and everything. As long as there are those that remember what was, there will be always those that are unable to accept what can be. Now, once you think about that for a little bit, once again, we got the Patreon account for Point of Perspective podcast, YouTube channel, dropping new content on that every week. Follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And, you know, you got the email, perryperspective80@gmail.com. We're about to crank up the email bag again. We got some really wild emails that I'm going to start incorporating into the show. People want advice. People want to know the perspective on different things that they struggle with every day. And we're going to bring it to you on this platform. Like I said, I appreciate everybody that contributes. You know, feel free to reach out if you have a question, concern, or if you have a topic that you want discussed. And until the next time, man, this is Point of Perspective out.